David McCallum's here, Luke.
David McCallum, yes.
Did I get your name wrong again?
Well, everybody calls me Colum, like McCall's magazine, but it is, in fact, McCallum.
Oh, I hate to be corrected at the start of an interview.
That's
still, never mind,
right,
it's all right.
All right.
We'll get over it, won't we?
Yes, we will.
You know, you were on the telly earlier on. You were in a film called...
Today,
Hell Drivers.
Oh, what a wonderful film with Sean Connery.
That's
and
right.
all the spies.
Yeah.
All the guys that later on became spies.
Shall I read
right?
you the cast? It's unbelievable. Let's have a Gordon Jackson, Alfie Bass, Jill Ireland, Sid James, yourself, William Hartnell, Herbert Lom, a young Patrick McGoohan, Stanley Baker, Sean Connery. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's a wonderful film. And one night, Catherine, my wife and I said, oh, there's a film on tonight on television. You've got to see it. It's called Hell Drivers. And it was on at 2 a.m. or something. So I woke her up. And they had to fit it to the American time schedule.
Yeah.
So they thought, what can we take out? Or take the kid out. So I was excised from the entire movie. I never appeared.
So do you like looking at your old stuff? I mean, do you ever look at the old man from Uncle's?
Well, you don't see them that often. I mean, I've got him in a suitcase. It's fun to see The Great Escape because it's such an extraordinary movie.
Yeah.
And I get $8 every year for The Greatest Story Ever Told at Easter.
Do you?
Playing Judas Iscariot. My mother said, you know, you go to America and you get your break. And all your life you play bad guys and terrible people, and you go to America and you play Judas Iscariot.
Yeah.
Can't you play a good person for a change?
Well, I mean, when did you go to America to live and to work? Would it have been in the Man from U.N.C.L.E. years, or after, or right before, or what?
It's all bound up with Jill, who left me and went with Charles Bronson, so we all sort of met. That whole era was during The Great Escape. This was Jill Ireland. And before that, they needed someone to play an apostle. I said, I don't want to play an apostle. I want to play the bad guy. And George Stevens was kind enough to test me for it. So I came over to Hollywood, and I tested. And in the studio was Dorothy Malone and Ronnie McGuire and Pat Boone in a white dress. And I met all these people, and I'm at MGM, and I'm driving an open Chevy car down Sunset Boulevard playing 60s music. I mean, talk about a wee Glasgow kid doing well.
I do remember you in The Invisible Man.
Yes, that was subsequent to that later on. We did only 12 shows.
Yeah.
Sapphire and Steel.
Yeah, when I met the other wonderful lady in my life. And, you know, Joanna is such an extraordinary, wonderfully beautiful, talented, does the crossword faster than anybody else.
Have you been following what she's been up to recently?
Yeah, she's been with the Gurkhas.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she's succeeded, which is nice.
Yeah. Yes. Of course, I forgot all about that. Yeah. I mean, you've done so much great work, and now you're doing this brilliant series, NCIS, which we see, and your character, he's kind of eccentric, really, isn't he? He's kind of...
Well, some people think he's eccentric.
Well, anybody that wears a bow tie should be thought of as eccentric, don't
yeah, well,
you
that
think?
Was Don Belisario, who launched this whole ship and sent us on our way. That was his idea, and it's a great idea. And the other extraordinary thing was, he said, I don't want you to wear that cap with NCIS. I know. Find a floppy hat somewhere. So we went into wardrobe. We were shooting that morning, and there was nothing except that really stupid-looking fawn thing. And I said, what the hell? We'll put it on. So I put that on, and it's become... We now have to keep it locked up in case anybody steals it.
And the series, kind of globally, is one of those... I mean, it's like House or like any of the others that are around at the moment. It's globally successful, isn't it?
It's so extraordinary.
You must be clocked wherever you go, as they say.
I have been clocked. In New York now, I leave 15 minutes, because I walk everywhere in New York, between appointments, because I'm going to be stopped on the street and talk about NCIS for at least 15 minutes.
And do you get fed up with talking about it?
I love it. I'm sorry, I've never got fed up with anything in my whole life. Are you kidding?
Well, what is it about, if you like, us Brits, where we can go over there and kind of conquer television? I mean, you look at Simon Cowell, you look at you, you look at Hugh, you look at all of the others that are over there. We just kind of get on with it, don't we? We bring our professionalism somehow.
Oddly enough, if you live there and you have a career, go back a bit with me, it's not that easy sometimes to get the work that you'd really like to do. And I think, oh gosh, if only I sounded like De Niro, I could work all the time. But then things come along that are specific, you know, like this one is. I was doing a play with Jim Dale, Comedians, which is a wonderful play, and I played the agent. I've always wanted to play an agent. I tell them what I think of them. But it was just wonderful doing that show. And I'm walking down Park Avenue, my cell phone rings, and I'm in a casting director. Then all of a sudden, I'm auditioning for CBS and Paramount, and then I'm off playing Ducky. It comes right out of left field.
For anybody that hasn't seen NCIS, very briefly explain what your character is and what the whole premise of the show is.
NCIS is the Naval Criminal Investigative Service. Based in Washington, a number of people who are gathered together in order to investigate any crimes or problems, or they provide social services to the Marines and the Navy. That's basically what they do.
And your character?
And my character is totally fictitious, because wherever they go, they use the local medical examiner to examine the body, cut them up, and so
right.
They have got this character who has an autopsy suite within NCIS, which is completely fictitious.
That wouldn't
but
normally
it's okay.
Happen.
It wouldn't normally happen.
It's a nice ensemble piece as well.
It's a nice ensemble. Well, talking of ensemble, I think I've cut up about 100 actors in the last 6 years.
I meant Mark Harmon and the others.
Oh, yeah. But what's fun is there are people. You know, I have met actors, named actors, who say to me, oh, gosh, I would love to come and play a part so I can lie on your table.
So, what's the plan? New series? I mean, how many?
We have done 6 years. On July 15th, I think we're starting season 7.
Wow.
So we've done 138 shows.
So it's like family to you now, I presume. You know everybody?
We are a very, very close, warm family.
Yeah.
A little dysfunctional, both as actors and on the stage. But I think the whole sort of warmth and camaraderie comes through. There's a lot of humour in NCIS.
Yeah, and it's kind of looks on faces as well, isn't it? Like, you can see some...
Almost like real life. I mean, you get a bunch of people who work together that really enjoy each other. There's a great deal of humour in the whole thing. Not quite as much as The Office, but the same idea.
No, not what you mean. You can see David in NCIS this Friday, 9 p.m. It's over on Channel 5. And if you check the ratings in America, it's always up there in the top 10 or the top 20
top
or whatever.
Five.
Top 5.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of pressure, you know, on the network and on yourselves and what have you. And I think it's a great show as well. And you look very young, by the way. Did I mention that?
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks very much, David. Bye. David McCullough. Don't you think he looks young?
Lovely.
David McCullough.